share some resources and personal stories with you here. at the end of this presentation, I think not only will we be kind of sharing our own family's personal story of how we did homeschooling and how we did home and family education, but also probably provide a lot of resources that we have available online for free that you guys can use to do math, science, history, geography, all the different subjects. It's available for free, and it was my dad used these resources, and my mom too, especially when we were growing up, to kind of help foster our education and teach us what to do. Sorry, here, just one second. My slides won't transfer over, but... One moment.
Don't the mic.
Thank you. Sorry guys, glitches like this always tend to happen sometimes when you're trying to do good things. So. Well, to start right off, I wish I had the pictures up there for you so you could see them. But basically, I come from a family of 10. I have 10 siblings, and of course, two parents. My dad is the one who started the Joseph Smith Foundation. And we as siblings, after he passed away, are continuing the Joseph Smith Foundation going forward, as well as a bunch of volunteers with us as well. My sister Hannah is now president of the Joseph Smith Foundation. And really, I wish I had the pictures up here to just kind of give you a glimpse of like what our family mission is and what we do. But basically, we like to produce a lot of resources and materials for families to not just help build stronger families, but also to help build people's grounding and understanding of the scriptures, and with especially a focus on the restoration, help people build faith so that they have something that unifies their family going forward. My siblings and I, we wrote a book. It's called A Christ-Centered Home, and essentially what it tells is not only a lot of the methods and the resources that my dad used, and my mom also as well, growing up to teach us education in a pretty practical, rigorous way, unconventional way. My dad was a high school teacher, and he saw very clearly how the public school system is not efficient or effective in teaching young people education, and so he was like, I'm going to do this myself. He was also a MTC teacher as well, and so he was like, we got to bring the gospel into our education system. And so he used a lot of practical methods and principles that he found from prophets. He spent hours and hours studying the presidents of the church and came up with a lot of practical ways to and raise kids. And so we put a lot of those principles in this book. It's at our table, and a lot of the resources there as well. And then kind of the stories of how our family bonded together over time as well. In that book also as well are the conversion stories of not just myself, but also my brother Isaiah and my sister Hannah, and also a few of my other siblings as well, because we really firmly believe you can give a child the perfect environment. You can give them the perfect resources. You can give them everything they could possibly want to foster an educated child and help them grow up in a loving home. But until each child decides in and of themselves that they want to be a disciple of Christ, that that's something that they want to live for, and that's something they want to stand for. They're going to be going about their day thinking, what would Jesus do? And that's their passion. Until each and every person really comes to a point in their life where they want to make that decision, they're, I really feel like regardless of the resources, that's what's truly going to help a person grow and come alive. Sorry about the tech
difficulties.
You can find that book at our table and see the stories there. There's also lots of pictures in there as well. With 10 kids and a family, that you're going to come up with a lot of stories. So, growing up, we had a pretty unconventional approach to education. We didn't study anything unless it was, number one, tied to the gospel. Number two, it was mission-centered. In other words, it's focused on service. In other words, every DVD that we watched, every book that we read, every subject that we studied, we didn't do it unless we had a way from the beginning how to use it to help serve someone else or help teach someone else. I'm actually going to keep my laptop open because then I can see my notes. There was no passive learning. Everything that we learned was for a purpose. The Joseph Smith Foundation, we call it the JSF for short, but the products that we produce, stuff defending Joseph Smith and the Restoration, products explaining scripture, products explaining home and family principles.
You're all set. Yeah, I'm all set. Thank you so much.
Those are all found on our table, and those are the results of the projects that we worked on growing up. So like I said, we didn't just sit down and study math. We didn't just sit down and study a history. A child didn't just sit down and be like, I'm interested in airplanes, so that's what I'm doing for a month. We didn't do that. It was, you had to find a way, how is studying airplanes going to help people? Okay, if we don't have a practical way that it's going to help change someone's life, then we're not going to do it. We spent lots of time learning skills, especially tech skills, permaculture and gardening skills, social skills to try to help others. I'm still working on the social skills.
Do you want to go to the podium? You're all set up there.
Yeah, sure, why not?
Thank you.
You want to stick me up here, apparently, so.
Thank you so much.
I'm going to actually switch back here because
I have to control the slides for both.
Who is this?
Oh yeah. Thank you so much.
So is she.
Nice. Maybe I will come up. It's an interesting day.
We have lots of stories from our family of working in the office late on night on projects. It was a really good environment where it taught us, hey, you know, maybe you're doing a project to serve other people. That sometimes means it's going to get hard. You're going to get through fights with siblings or even difficulties with parents. People are under stress and peer pressure. You're going to have to pull all-nighters. And it's in moments like those that you actually start kind of digging down and start thinking to yourself, okay, wait, why am I really doing this? Do I actually really care about the people that I'm doing this project for? But it definitely helps your testimony grow stronger. We have lots of stories from also doing lots of permaculture and gardening. Our family has an 11.5-acre farm full of permaculture trees and berries and plants in it from all around the world. Everything from Nanking cherries from China, Siberian pea shrubs from Siberia and Russia, and all focused with the goal of what can we plant in a Utah environment that's cold hardy, that's drought hardy, that can be used in times of need to help serve other people? What can we learn about the Utah environment scientifically, even in the drought? In the dirt substance, and is it more alkaline versus acidic, and how do you know? We've done lots of work with that, and I have some pictures of that later. Lots of unrolling pipe, lots of digging trenches. We built an addition onto our house, which taught us a lot about mathematics and physics and engineering as well. And also another thing our dad would have us do on Sunday is, this was my least favorite thing, but he would have us prep and give talks to the family on gospel subjects. And that made me nervous, because it's one thing to do a sacrament reading talk, but when it's with the family, it's a little bit more, I don't know, for me, it's the smaller groups are a little bit scarier. These are 10 principles of education that you can find that Joseph Smith taught. We actually have a webinar called Educating Zion, Joseph Smith's Restored Principles. And it's on our website, the Joseph Smith Foundation, which you can see there. And those are the 10 principles, focusing out, not in. So in other words, everything that you do should be focused on how am I going to serve someone else, not just fulfill some dream or vision that I have for myself. It's got to be mission-centered, spirit-directed, go to the spirit, get inspiration, exemplar-inspired. Do we know good heroes from history that we can look to for examples of, you know, good missionary work, people from the Restoration? Built on the Rock is pretty clear, Jesus Christ. Father-presided or family-centered. I know all families, the dads are working. My dad was working full-time too, software engineer, from 7:30 in the morning till 6:30 or 7 at night, he'd come home. But instead of just crashing on the couch and watching football or investing his time into a hobby, he really took any extra, those few hours at night before he went to bed, and tried to invest those into us. And watching his example is actually because he had health problems, he had challenges, he has 10 kids, he has a full-time job, which I don't know if anybody here is a software engineer, but from the software engineering I've done, it's super mentally taxing, and so it takes a lot of your energy. The point of that being, if dads can lead in the home, that would be the best environment. Of course, moms like help support is the best, but that was the best method we could find, especially having the family work together. That doesn't mean the dad's got to do everything, but if he can like help provide vision or a perspective, the family be like, hey guys, this is the direction we want to go, that really can help, especially kids I see. Sometimes they tend to respond a little bit better sometimes when the dad is directing than when the mom's directing. Not all the time, just in some cases. The content is the message. Agency motivated. In other words, the goal is to try to find ways to help inspire the kids to be doing this of their own free will, not just forcing them to want to be part of whatever the family mission is. And also appointing stewardships. There would be so many times when my dad would come to me and he would say, you know, Leah, like, I want you to write an article, actually write a book about X, Y, or Z. I'd be like, I don't know the first thing about writing. I could go pick up the third grade book that my siblings are studying and try to figure this out. And he was like, let's come up with a plan. Let's find a way to make this happen. And I remember sitting down with a language arts book and trying to like remember and study verbs and adjectives. But it was, the vision was like, okay, we need to write a book to help somebody with such and such. How am I going to get from A to Z to do that? Before jumping into some of the resources that I have, I just had two questions up here to kind of prompt questions, which are additional questions in your mind. And that would be, number one, what is the purpose of having a curriculum? Is, if your child is studying history or science, what's the purpose behind that? Why are they studying that? How's that going to affect them? Is it just to fill their minds with a bunch of like random facts and knowledge? Or why are you having them study the things they're studying? And then what's the end goal after obtaining that knowledge? Is it just to help them be knowledgeable as they go out in the world? Or is it to take the SAT? What's the end goal? And so I proposed it. The goal we want to have at the end of the day is for a person to be converted and then take that and do missionary work with it. So in other words, if you're studying science, studying science should provoke you to become more converted, and then you should be able to take that science and use it to do missionary work. And I know that might kind of sound a little bit strange, but I have some of the methods in here for how our family did that. If we're just learning for ourselves, our career, our ego, our dreams, we're going to fail. You can't build a life centered on yourself and expect to be happy. The secret to success is using your knowledge to build the Lord's kingdom, and any person at any age can do this. The 4-year-olds, the 5-year-olds, the 6-year-olds can do this. Question is, how do we approach school subjects in an interesting way with the goal being conversion? I'm just going to cover a few resources that we use to study history. These resources are all free and available for you to use as well. When we would approach studying history, we would try to study history from a gospel perspective. Now, what does that mean? That would mean specifically looking for ways where you can see God's providential hand in history working with the house of Israel, especially over time. Understanding patterns. How does God work with civilizations that reject moral law, that reject Christianity, and then what happens to those nations afterward? Also covenant history. How does God deal with the house of Israel? And also, what's God going to do in the future? I remember going on a walk with my dad, and I remember him pointing out to me, we were going on a casual walk, and he would always take us on walks and talk to us about stuff. I remember one thing he said really stuck out to me, and that was, he said, look at the civilizations like Rome and the Mayans and Egypt. They invested all their time into building coliseums and these huge temples. And he said, now look at all the civilizations that were Israelite, the pilgrims, the Puritans, the House of Israel. They invested all their time and energy not into just building buildings, but into investing into people, investing into missionary work and serving the nations. That's why you have so many of the missionaries that have brought technology and science and really made other countries humane. For example, the Christian missionaries who went from England to China, or from England to Burma, or England to Africa, like David Livingstone or Gladys Aylward, the impact they use their lives not to just build up structures or build up their careers or their egos. They were always thinking, how do I serve outward? Righteous Israel has invested its time into people, missionary work, and serving the nations. And that, I remember him pointing that out to me. It made more sense at the time when he explained it than probably I'm explaining it now. But that has stuck with me ever since, because every time I saw a Mayan temple, or every time I see the Roman Colosseum, I remember, what was the purpose of the Roman Colosseum? Blood and entertainment. What's the purpose of what the Founding Fathers did with America, with the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence? Bringing freedom to other people. It's something interesting that you can start seeing in all sorts of different cultures. This is, I don't know how many people know this, but in 1877, there were all the Founding Fathers and many eminent men and women appeared as spirits to Wilford Woodruff in the St. George Temple. I'm sure probably most of you guys have heard that story, but they were pleading with President Woodruff, please get our temple work done. We really need the blessings on the other side from that happening. So I'm trying to remember how many eminent men there were. I don't remember the number, but they included scientists like Louis Agassiz, who was a scientist from England, writers like Sir Walter Scott and Jane Austen, artists, explorers, scientists, physicians, poets, social reformers, and authors. These types of people all came out to the temple and pleaded for their work to be done. And so my dad would be like, if men and women like that are coming to the temple and they need their temple work done, what was the lives of those men? What did they live and stand for? And he would have us, there's a book called The Other Eminent Men of Wilford Woodruff. My dad had me read that growing up, and actually helped me had me type it in because there was no digital version of it, so that we could post the stories from the book online for other people to read as well. There were just so many good stories from that book. I wish I could get into them all, but one of the eminent men was like a midshipman on a Navy ship for America at 13, and basically was super responsible and just took over the ship and was fighting English privateers. And there's so many exciting stories from that book. Another good movie that our dad helped teach us was, it's called Sakharov. It was published in 1984, not published, created in 1984. It tells the stories of a Russian physicist, Andrei Sakharov, who led the human rights movement over in Russia. It's not necessarily even Christian-based, but it really is good at showing how under communism, how do the human rights movements over there and in a communist society survive and thrive, and why do they stand up for the things they stand for? What are the methods that they take to try to defend human rights, for example, hunger strikes, protests, and are those methods effective? This movie is really good at showing that, as well as how the communist government counters those attacks using torturing people with psychological drugs in the prison camps. It just pretty much explores the entire, you can see communism over in Russia, how to stand up against it, what types of methods to protest work, what ones don't. So these were the types of stories and videos that we had watched growing up, because my dad would always tell us, hey, you know, like, if you're going to be ready to defend liberty, you need to know how the real world is out there. You need to know how to be strong and how other people are suffering. Wish I could. If you, once again, this is, we have the full movies available on our website, josephsmithfoundation.org. I know. Where am I at on time? Is it about 15 minutes? Okay, thank you. I'm gonna have to breeze through some of these other ones. This is a really good movie, Torture for Christ, that shows, once again, communism over in Romania, help kids realize what freedoms they have to be grateful for and how they can go stand up and defend freedoms that are being threatened as well. We have so many more of these resources on our website. Sorry, I keep forgetting that if I switch the slides down here, it doesn't change for you guys up there. I just want to mention too, I know a lot of people, they pay literally thousands of dollars for school curriculums on history, on science, on education, on language arts, on math. Our dad literally, we were always looking to do things on the cheap, right? My dad would have us watch movies and then write up papers on what we learned. So we were learning to both write, and he would critically analyze those papers. A lot of them were garbage. He was up front with us. He told us they were garbage, and we were sent back to write them again. it was bad, and we learned how to write better. But essentially we would watch movies and write reports on them, so that we were actually really digesting what the movies were trying to teach us. Not just any movies, but movies like Sakharov, Torture for Christ, movies on history, science, math, all sorts of things from a Christian perspective. That has been a super effective way to learn that our family has come across, is to watch the movies and to write the papers about it. It sticks. Kids like it better than the textbooks, at least in our family. Growing up, a lot of people told us, you know, this isn't going to work. Why are you guys homeschooling? My kids go to school and they're educated. You guys are going to get older and you're not going to be able to get jobs. You're not going to be able to converse with other people. You won't be social. You won't be normal. They would just tell us, this, my dad and my parents and my mom, this isn't going to work. And I actually wondered the same thing growing up. Is this actually going to work? Because I'm so different than all the other kids around me. What's going to happen exactly when I get older? Because this is my life too. And But I kind of just trusted. I was like, I feel like my dad is inspired. I know he prays. I know he gets inspiration. And we're all trying our best. And I can also have the agency to choose how much time I invest in things. And I just kind of followed the principles as best I can, those 10 Zion education principles that I had on the screen earlier. And I can definitely, from personal experience, you can definitely go get a job in the corporate world. You can definitely, I've worked for different corporate companies. I worked for the Department of Defense. I worked for different people, not to like pat ourselves on the back, but it was a good learning experience because it showed me when I would go into different social environments and I'd talk to different world leaders or different people, and to be honest, actually, you guys are a little bit more intimidating than some of the government officials I've met, actually, a little bit closer to home, but I'd learn, I'd be like, these are people too. Oh, when my Korean coworkers are talking about freedoms and rights being taken away in this period of Korean history, I have common ground with them. I remember watching a movie and studying that growing up. Or when I talk to my Polish coworker or my Polish manager from Poland, then she would be, you know, say something about her parents and how they came over to America and be like, I know exactly what you're talking about. You're talking about the Solidarity Movement over in the 1980s. I like 100% agree with that. Your parents were part of that? That's so cool. Hey, we were able to find common ground and often watching free movies at night. We even watched movies when we were sick with the flu. We watched movies a lot and talked about them a lot and wrote lots of papers. I'm going to skip through some of these. This one is called Against All Odds. It's really good about showing miracles in Israel in the 20th century and the fight for independence. This is just a really good quote from Ezra Taft Benson where he talks about how we need to be using the Book of Mormon and we need to be studying history from a Christian perspective that includes God in the picture instead of just studying random facts and history from who knows what perspective, and usually anti-Christian perspectives. Something I really do want to touch on really quick is some of the resources we did for science growing up, and that would be the documentary, there we go, Expelled in 2008. It counters evolution. It brings up a lot of evidence about intelligent design. I don't know how many people have heard about that, but there's so much scientific evidence from PhD, from molecular biology, from physics, from astronomy. So many different scientists have come to the conclusion that evolution could not have happened because there is evidence of intelligent design in nature from all different perspectives. Actually, watching this documentary that I watched when I was 10 and studying intelligent design growing up is a key part of my testimony because there was a time in my life when I kind of went through a faith crisis and I was like, is God real? Is he not? And I remember looking out the window being like, so where is he? You know, like, is everything I've been taught true? And I kind of went back to my roots and found my building blocks, but I was like, I know God has to be true because there's so much evidence in science. To show that an intelligent designer exists. So now I just got to figure out if such an intelligent designer exists, I want to know and learn more about him. Those are just more documentaries about intelligent design, everything from fossils, astronomy, how the human cells and biology, how the human body works. These are all really good documentaries. This is my 16-year-old sister. She absolutely loves science too. I'm gonna have to skip through some of these.
It's titled Explore Creation.
Oops. That was gonna be a video clip. We're gonna have to skip through that. But literature, all these books. You know, we would read books like Saint Bartholomew's Eve that talked about the reformers and French Huguenots over in France. It's a novel. In His Steps talks about people, it's fictional, but people in the 1900s who decided to take the pledge that they would only do what Jesus would do. Or North and South by Elizabeth Gaskell. Many of you probably have seen the movie for that, but it shows the communist struggle between managers and workers up in Northern England in the 1800s. There's so many different ways that you can teach kids school and show them, don't tell them about it. Once again, these are all audiobooks. Jane Austen, it's really good. We even have a teen recommended book list on our website. of books on all different subjects, especially church history, that other kids can read. To skip through some of this, see geography, different resources people can learn.
Oh.
Free Burma Rangers is a movie every kid should watch. They will be totally motivated. It's about a family that decides to go over to Burma and be missionaries over there. It's currently ongoing. All the footage in the movie is real. But the family goes over there to help, and there's a civil war going on in Burma, and the family's just trying to help all the natives that are over there. Stuff about Mount St. Helens. Shows evidence for young earth. Once again, so many different resources on our website. This is just a little bit about our that permaculture farm that I mentioned at the beginning, the 11.5-acre farm. We have a shop on there that we're and an excavator, and we're working to kind of develop the property so that one day it can be a place where families, kind of like a retreat center, families can come down, bring their kids, learn how to process food in a variety of different methods, fermentation, canning, drying, different ways they can learn how to, different survival techniques. We want to build a building so that we can bring over speakers and have them present there as well, but they can all do it hands-on, and they can be kind of part of the experience. Again, we have a fire pit. There we all are working, digging rocks, building our shop, trying to learn how to do plumbing. Once again, these are all things that we're just trying from getting people who can teach us how to do the air vents, how to do the plumbing, how to do the electrical, how to do the concrete, how to grind, how to do all these things. Because once again, our perspective on education was always very practical based and skills based and service based, of course. Different types of herbal things. We have goats that we do for milk. We have, those are all just different types of plants. That's that pretty yellow flower right there is the Siberian pea shrubs. I wish I could just go on and on about the plants, because to be honest, that's one of my favorite things, but that's farm, even bees. Oh, we harvest their own honey, or at least we did until my bees died. We have a leaf party where we try to bring in and include all the people around the community and go to different people's places and gather up leaves. Once again, we have a project that we're trying to do. We're gathering up resources and teachings from Joseph Smith and sort of by topic. A podcast called the 4-A-Day podcast that we have on YouTube, where we try to show ways that you can take the Book of Mormon history and it can teach us how to deal with societal problems that we have today. Whether it's the work that we do on our permaculture farm, or trying to get Joseph Smith's words out to people, or trying to teach people more in depth about the Book of Mormon and how to approach problems in our day and how the Book of Mormon provides answers. I'm not bringing these up just to pat ourselves on the back or anything, or these are just the methods and the resources that our family tried to use to take education and use it in a very practical way, in a way that they can go forward and really truly make a difference in the world. Our dad would always remind us of that growing up. As you can tell, I probably am quoting my dad a lot, but he really was a key part of my education growing up. Probably really a cornerstone, I guess you could say. These resources that you see on the screen here are just some of the documentaries and the shirts and the posters and the banners and stuff that our family has tried to produce that came from our education resource. So instead of just sitting down and studying math principles or studying math or history or just random facts or airplanes, or I know I'm picking on airplanes a little bit today, dinosaurs, it could be anything. We sat down and we were like, okay, we have to find a way to use those skills to serve someone else before we go and study something. And these products and resources that we have are kind of the fruits of that education method that we took. So I guess kind of in closing here, I just want to say, like, it's my firm testimony that if you have kids yourselves, or if there's even some kids here listening or they're watching, I know that for myself that if you use your time and your talents and your skills and everything that you learn and that you possess to build the kingdom of God, like, you will have a happy and fulfilled life. You will go forward truly knowing what you stand for, and you can look backwards and be like, yeah, I have made a difference. There are people that I have helped, and that truly is what brings happiness. It's not about just going to the next game or doing the next sport or having the next pizza party or the next vacation or the next boat or whatever it may be. For everybody, it looks a little bit different, especially for me. It's more about what you can do to help build God's kingdom here today. Any family can do this 100%. Our family has been through some really crazy struggles. I've lost about one third of my family members, actually, and through various ways. So there's only two thirds of us left, but we're still carrying forward. We're still converted, and we want this mission to go forward. If you're going forward or you just want to even leave with one thing today, I'd say find your mission, find a purpose, find what you want to live for, so that, you know, when you're 5, 10, 20 years from now, you can look backward and be like, yeah, I stood for something, I did something, I made a difference. And I really feel like the crux of getting to that point comes from sitting down and getting prayer and inspiration from the Spirit, because Spirit's going to tell each person what is best, the best life journey for them, and the best thing they can spend their time on. So I just wanted to close with that, and thank you so much for coming and listening to this presentation. I'm sorry for the rough beginning, but I appreciate all your time coming here today. Thanks. Thank you so much, Leah, and